the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Good morning. It's lovely to see you. My name is Saz Flint. I'm a trainee leader at this church, and I'm going to be speaking to you for the next 20 minutes or so. We are starting our new series. It's our Christmas series, so you have heard quite a lot about Christmas already. It's 35 sleeps, in case you didn't know. It's 35 sleeps to Christmas. And we're going to be spending the next 7 weeks focusing on the birthday gifts that Jesus requires from us. You may have started some preparations. You may have been thinking about it. And you may kind of be thinking, oh no, Christmas is only 35 sleeps away. I think it's different for children. I have two children, and I've often said phrases to my children that I've regretted. So I have often said to my children, it's your bedroom, you can do what you like to it. I can see you're shocked, but I have actually said that several times, and 10 days ago, so 45 sleeps to Christmas, this is what happened. Egged on by a trip to the range with grandma, sort of tip, don't send your children with your grandparents to the range just before Christmas. But it's Anna's room and she can do what she likes to it and she's very excited. And my aim this morning is to get us to be as excited as Anna is. It could be an impossible task, but let's see how we go. Shall we start by reading this morning's passage? It's in the green Bibles. There'll be one in front of you. We're going to go towards the end of the Bible in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's on page 1080. 1080. And this is a letter that one of the early church leaders, not long after Jesus was alive and went back to heaven, one of the early church leaders wrote this letter to a local church just like us. So 1 Corinthians 1, and we're going to just read chapter 3, verse 3 to verse 9. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus, for in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Look at verse 9. God has called us into fellowship with Jesus. So he's calling us, he's calling you, me, anyone who would listen, to be with him this Christmas, to celebrate the birth of Jesus, to really enter into the birthday party. And Jesus's birthday party, when we celebrate it, is a little bit different than birthday parties that you might have gone to, or my children go to, or my children have. Because at Jesus's birthday party, we get the gifts first. So I have a gift here. I wonder if anybody would be brave enough to come and accept this gift. Joe, thank you. Right, there is that gift. What's in it?
A baby.
It's a baby. Do you want to show people? So you're going to be seeing much of that. Joe, do you want to read the tag on the card?
To you,
love from God with grace. That's the birthday present that we get at Jesus's birthday party. And it's a baby wrapped in grace. Grace given you in Christ Jesus. That's what it says in verse 4. Another verse. I wonder if you could turn with me to John's Gospel. It's on page 1004. John chapter 1, 1004. I'm going to read two verses that will hopefully unpack this idea of grace given us in Christ Jesus. The first one is the very first verse. So on page 1004, John chapter 1, verse 1 says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then if you look at verse 14, we get this idea of the Word again. So we've just read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." And then verse 14, just further down the passage, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So we've got these two ideas: grace given you in Christ Jesus, this birthday present, a baby full of grace, wrapped in grace. And then in John's Gospel, and John was a follower of Jesus, John says, "The Word came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So we get this idea that the Word is Jesus. And in the second part of the Bible, which was written in AD, the AD part of the Bible, it was written in Greek, both to Jews and to non-Jews. And the non-Jews understood Greek philosophy. In Greek philosophy, the Word, which they called logos, it means the shaping, ordering, and directing principle in the universe. I think in our culture, we might say the supreme being, or the grand unifying theory. So the theory of life, the universe, and everything. So we might want to rephrase that verse in John to say something like this: "The supreme being of the universe became flesh to be with us and show us what he, she, it is like." And the Jews understood the Word. So the Bible was written to non-Jews and to Jews. The Jews understood the Word to mean the way that God brought the whole universe into being. So we could say on that, the creative power and force of the universe became flesh to be with us and to show us what God is like. So whatever your world philosophy, we are told in the Bible these things. The supreme being of the universe became flesh to be with us. The creative power of the universe became flesh to be with us and made his dwelling among us. And what that makes me think is how valuable humanity must be. How valuable must this world be? Must every single person be? Must you be for the one who orders and structures and directs the universe to give up being equal with God and become one of us? And the thing that I've only just started to realise over the last couple of years is that there was no going back for God. The gift can't be ungiven. So Jesus becoming human, the Word, the sort of creative power of the universe, becoming human is irreversible. So God irreversibly identified with humans, irreversibly became one of us. So God's grace, this gift that we get to find out who he is not kind of some far-off sentiment. It's actually a love gift. Just like I stood there and extended myself, holding a present, waiting for somebody to come and receive it, God extends himself to you and me. And we have this Jesus. One of Jesus' names is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is forever human, yes, God, but forever human. He's forever bound to men and women, forever bound to you if you accept that gift. And his final sacrifice on the cross restores our humanity. It sort of deals with the rubbish that we do to each other. And his resurrection into a real his resurrection into a real body, his real resurrection body, means that we can share and enjoy his status as a child of God forever. Jesus is forever human. When we love someone, we want to draw them close, don't we? We reach out to touch them. We shrink the space between us. That's what grace is. That's what God gives us in Jesus. He completely, finally, eternally, irreversibly shrinks that space between us. Look at verse 5 in the 1 Corinthians passage. So you'll have to flick back to 1080. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 5. For in him, in Jesus, you have been enriched in every way. So my question to us this morning is, does that make a difference? Does God's gift of grace to us make a tangible difference to the way we live, to the way we celebrate Christmas? You know, you may be facing a rubbish Christmas. You know, you may be facing a Christmas full of pettiness and people who are impossible to please. You may be the impossible to please person. You may be full of financial worry or loneliness. You may be facing a first Christmas without someone you love, and this Christmas is going to be tough. So this gift of a baby, you know, it's all very nice. It's all very nice for children's nativities. But what difference does that make to you? What difference does it make to me? Look at verse 7 and 8. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You do not lack any spiritual gift. What does that mean? You know, we live 2,000 years ago after the first Christmas. We don't get to see the human Jesus. We don't get to see the Jesus who had a body. But we do get his spirit. So when we receive that gift, the Holy Spirit lives with us. He guides us and comforts us. The Holy Spirit is the one that today, for us, shrinks that space between us and God. So we get this amazing present of God becoming human, of taking on flesh, forever identifying with men and women. And then we get two more gifts. And we get gifts from God the Holy Spirit. We get his presence. We get God really, really with us. Jesus said when he was on this earth, I will send you the Spirit to be with you forever. And then the second thing that we all get is we get revelation. The Holy Spirit brings to us revelation. In 1 Corinthians 2, if you look at it in the next page, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. So I want you to imagine, we all get this present of Jesus becoming a baby, becoming human, identifying with us. We all then get two additional presents, his Spirit to live with us and guide us and comfort us. And then we also get his Spirit to help us to understand these things in the here and now. And on top of that, we all get, there are more gifts. So it's almost like you can imagine these presents raining down. And these presents that we get are the spiritual gifts that we read about in the passage. So we all get grace, Jesus. We all get God's Holy Spirit with us. We all get revelation, help to understand these things. And then we all get at least one extra present from the Holy Spirit, one gift, if you like. We are all gifted with things from the Holy Spirit, with presents from the Holy Spirit. We don't all get all of the gifts, but we all get at least one. We all get extra gifts. And these things are really, really down to earth and practical. And these things, these presents, these gifts, they're often things that we're already good at. And when we use them, God is near. There really is no space between us and God. They bless us in the here and now. They bring glory to God. They build others up. And these are the things that we can give back to God. These are the things that you and I can uniquely give back to God this Christmas, our gifts to Him. So what are they? There's over 20 of them in the New Testament. So we have, I'm going to read them out, and we're not going to have time to go through every single one, so don't worry. I just want to give you a flavour of what these gifts are and what it's like to use these gifts and give them back to God to celebrate Jesus' birthday. So the gifts are administration, apostleship, craftsmanship, technical skill, discernment, faith, giving, healing, helps, hospitality, encouragement, evangelism, intercession, knowledge, leadership, mercy, miracles, pastoring, prophecy, serving, teaching, tongues, interpretation of tongues, wisdom. So we get these gifts that we all get, and then some of us get these as well, and all of us get at least one. And these are so down to earth. I just want to go through a few of them. I've got about 10 minutes left. I don't know how many I'm going to get through in 10 minutes, but I want you to be asking yourselves, is that me? And how can I use that to give something back to Jesus for his birthday, to thank him for all the things that he's given me? Okay, let's start with administration. Maybe you have the gift of administration. You usefully and helpfully direct and steer you and your family or your business through Christmas without losing anyone. Maybe you can think strategically about Christmas. Maybe you can work out who will be on their own and what connections you can make to show love and care. Maybe it's thoughtful presents that will be invaluable in 2017. Maybe it's organising a team for the Christmas quiz. Maybe it's using your ability to be efficient, to actually help someone at work who's pretty overwhelmed at this time of year. Use your gift. Give it to Jesus for his birthday. Maybe it's craftsmanship. We read about this gift in the Old Testament, and I think also today we could call that technical skill at something. You may be skilled at something really technical or really creative. It may be music or IT or art, playing carols, making gifts and cards for people, fixing someone's computer, singing in a carol service. Use it. Use your gift and give it to Jesus for his birthday. Discernment. Some of you will have a God-given ability to be able to distinguish between right and wrong and good and evil. Your gut tells you that something doesn't seem to be right, and you just have this urgency to pray and ask for wisdom. Use this gift this Christmas to make decisions, perhaps about what you watch on telly or what you look at online or what you get involved in at Christmas. You know, you could be the catalyst that changes the office dynamics or the school gate dynamics because of your God-given gift. Give that gift to Jesus for his birthday. Encouragement. I've been encouraged a lot this week. A lot of you have shown me this gift of encouragement this week, and it's just been so lovely. Maybe you have the gift of encouragement, and it's natural for you to want to say encouraging things to people, to come alongside them. Who can you comfort and spur on this Christmas? You know, it might be your best friend, or it might be someone you haven't met yet. It might be your child's teacher, or your elderly parents, or your house group leader, or the checkout person at Tesco. You have the gift to encourage people to be what God wants them to be, to motivate them, to give them hope. Use it this Christmas. If you think of an encouraging thing to say, say it. That's your gift to Jesus this Christmas. Evangelism. You may have the gift of telling people about Jesus clearly. You can clearly tell people the good news of the Word becoming flesh. You'll get many opportunities this Christmas. Use them at work or in your neighbourhood. That's your gift to Jesus this Christmas. Faith. Maybe you have the gift of extra faith. We all get the gift of faith when we accept the gift of Jesus. But you get extra dollops of it. It comes naturally to you to trust God, to believe his promises. You are fully persuaded that God is reliable and faithful. If you have this belief, let others see it. Tell others that your experience and that God can be trusted. Do this with consideration for those of us who sometimes doubt and they who don't necessarily have the same gift of you as you. But your faith, your assurance could make a big difference to somebody this Christmas. Give your gift of faith to Jesus for his birthday. Giving. Maybe your gift is giving. So maybe God's Spirit nudges you to really give what's needed in different situations to show grace and mercy. If this is your particular gift, don't ignore it. Know that it's God who's nudging you. Give financially to our Christmas collection. So we're sending money to Tear Fund and the Bangladesh Nazarene Mission. And they're working to see whole families and whole communities sort of exist in areas that are prone to flooding. Use your gift. Give to other projects that you know and trust will bring God's mercy and grace. That is your gift to Jesus for his birthday. How are we doing? How many have we done? Have you started to recognize anything in yourself in what we've been saying? Healing. You may have the gift of healing, and that's a desire to bring about physical, emotional, or spiritual restoration, not through what you do, but through God's power. And God is leading you to step out and believe him for healing. You know that it's God who does it, and it's his will that will be done. But you trust that God heals. Use your gift this Christmas. Pray for God to heal diseases, rifts in families. Be prepared to open your mouth to speak healing words to your work colleagues, to your family, to your neighbour. This is your birthday gift to Jesus this Christmas. Helps. Maybe you have the gift of helps. Maybe you thrive when you deeply support someone and help them and bring relief. You have the gift of befriending someone. Ask God how you can particularly use this gift over the next couple of months. Is there someone that God is prompting you to walk alongside, to listen to be on the journey with? That's your gift to Jesus on his birthday. We thought about hospitality, didn't we, last week? We're all called to practice hospitality, but some people are just particularly gifted at it. They make places welcoming and comfortable. They make people feel valued and special. And that is a great gift to have at Christmas. You know, especially when we're going to open up our building to new people. Use your gift this Christmas. It really does matter. That friendly smile, that offer of a cup of tea, that openness to make your home and this building a home from home. That could be your gift to Jesus this Christmas. Intercession. Some of us here have the gift of intercession. You pray for people. You bring them before God. You have an acute understanding that prayer is a conversation with God, and you want to bring someone before God to pray for them. We need you to give this gift to God this Christmas. We need you to pray for people to hear about this amazing gift of grace. Pray that we will do good in our community. Pray that the money that we give to Tear Fund for the work in Bangladesh will be used well and it will help just the right people. That could be your gift to Jesus this Christmas. And how it works is, I think you can see that we don't all just keep giving but we're receiving as well. One person is praying for another person who's welcoming another person, who's befriending another person. And these are helpful to us in Belmont, but they're helpful to people outside as well, people in your work, people in the neighbourhood. That's what they're designed to do. These gifts that we get from the Holy Spirit are designed to build other people up and to bring glory to God. There are lots more. I'm wondering which ones to pick on now. I've got sentences on every single one. How about mercy? Mercy is, you may have the gift of mercy. You're compassionate in your actions and your words and your attitude. You love to see love in action. You have an empathy that stirs deep inside you and causes you to want to do something. You want to bring relief. Don't lose that gift in the madness of Christmas. You know, what will you do to show mercy to those around you and those in other parts of the world? You know, as a church, our young people have been doing shoeboxes. That's a gift of mercy. We've been helping them explore that gift of giving something to people who are in need. Pray for opportunities to use that gift, if that's you. I hope you get the idea that there are so many gifts. And God doesn't ask us to give anything out that he hasn't already given us. He has gifted you to bring glory to him, to serve others. He has gifted you to do that. And when we use these gifts, these many, many gifts, we restore our humanity to be like Jesus's humanity that was perfect. He didn't stay as a baby, did he? He grew, and he was hungry like us, and he got angry and exasperated, and he bled, and he died, but he did it all perfectly. And then he rose again with a glorious body, and he went back to be with his Father. And then we get the Holy Spirit, and we get all these gifts. I love it when I see people using their gifts. I love it when I see people thriving because they're doing what they were made to do. They're doing what God wants them to do. And we will thrive as a church family and as a community, and we'll do good for this city when we use these gifts that God has given us.